Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on The 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interaction, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, and more.
The 90s Cruise will sail from Tampa and head to Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico on Royal Caribbean Serenade of the Seas, January 31st through February 5th, 2025.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Happy New Year, you hoes.
Woohoo! New Year.
You get it?
902-1 hoes.
Ho, ho, ho. The three of us.
We made it, you guys. It's 2021.
We made it. Mm-hmm. Wait, shh. Don't jinx it yet.
Things are going well so far. Don't jinx it.
You know what? It's kind of cool. Like, no expectations, right?
Yeah, because you know what? It can't get much worse. And
well,
you never know what's going to. You have no control over anything.
You're right.
So why
realize
even try?
That?
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys make any New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, I already broke mine.
Oh, I broke mine too. That's why we're best friends. Yay, sis.
What was your resolution? To not drink?
Drink less wine.
Not drink less red wine.
Drink yeah. less red wine.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Totally. I love that you guys have to drink. Not have to, but you enjoy drinking during the podcast. And if I were to drink, I would be horrible. Like, I can, this is like considered being on the job for me.
I know, but we use this as like, this is our date night.
Yeah, totally.
That's true. That's so funny. This is your day job. And for us, I was just thinking like lounge singers. This is our night job. We moonlight as podcasters. Drunk on the job.
So did you watch the episode that we're talking about this week?
Yes, I hope y'all did.
Did anybody? That was our homework. We were supposed to watch it.
Episode 7.
Perfect Mom.
Perfect Mom. This show aired November 22nd, 1990. Brenda envies Kelly's relationship with her hip-looking mom until she sees another side at a public event where Andrea shines.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Andrea shines at a public event. I'm there.
Oh my gosh. I can literally remember filming this episode. Like, I remember that runway and like, you remember
I
that?
Bet you do. You had to wear a freaking bikini in front of all those people. And I would like to just
say. No one was saying have to.
Who, your little butt was so adorable. I just wanted to pinch those cheeks. So cute.
Remember when I had a little butt?
Oh, it was so really adorable.
Now I have a mama butt.
Your butt's still adorable.
Hattie Finn.
Oh.
And your mom was rocking a bathing suit on the runway too, but that wasn't
my mom,
really...
who wasn't my mom.
Yeah,
yeah, that's not the mom.
I feel like they hired her just because she looked great in a bikini.
Wait,
for that
so you
episode.
Guys, so that bikini I wore was my own bikini, and I was like, I don't know if you ever did this. I used to buy bikinis, my friends and I, like other friends, not like you guys. In high school, we would buy like teen sizes. Like if you were 17. Like you would wear an adult small, you would buy like a teen, preteen or a teen bikini so it would fit itsy bitsy.
Oh my God.
So I was wearing probably like, yeah, I was like 17 wearing like a 13-year-old's bikini. None of this is sounding good. Sorry. This is it. Well, now they have those like really like string bikinis. They didn't have them then.
That's interesting.
You were wearing a string bikini before it was cool, I guess, to have your butt cheeks hanging out.
Ugh. But that wasn't even my mom. That was, yeah.
I know. She was an really extra. Weird. Really weird to see a different woman as your mom.
Yeah.
And different name, too. Was it Nancy? Oh. Nancy Martin?
Nancy Martin. You're right.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. Not Felice.
This episode was a lot of like Kelly's home turmoil that you don't really know is going on. Like, I love that because you always think everybody's got it better than you. Everybody's life is simpler, better, easier. And then you get to see behind the curtain a little bit on this episode. And
it was a lot about the moms, too. So Kelly's mom and then Brenda's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Who, by the way,
what?
Carol Potter will be joining us very shortly. If not, she might be here already.
Carol,
mom,
Carol, are you there?
To all of us.
What are your memories with
amazing.
Her?
So we luckily just got to see her last summer. Last summer? Well, now it's two summers ago. Mm-hmm. For BH90210.
Mm-hmm.
And she flew up to Vancouver and we all got to work together. And it was so great to be with her. It was just like...
So she was a therapist on the show, but she's really a therapist in real life now?
Yes.
So I thought that was just for
that
a
was
bit.
That was because she was a therapist in real life.
There she is.
Carol. Hi. Thank you for coming and being on our podcast.
Thank you.
All our hair is long, isn't it? Because none of us are getting haircuts. Tori, I have never seen your hair that long.
I paid for all of it. It's all fake. Gotta find something.
Well, as far as the therapist thing goes, after I left the show, I went back to school. I got a master's. I did my 3,000 hours working with clients and getting supervision and stuff. And actually the best part, you know, I did a soap that your father also produced.
That's right. Yes, you did.
Yes. Sunset Beach. And the great thing about that soap was that was when I was getting all my hours and my training. And because I already had the job, the training thing was already established. They were really helpful in sort of working around my schedule. And, you know, soaps are different. In back in the day, you had to be there morning till night because they shot in sequence. There was no editing. But now they just edit it all on a computer. It's really fast and easy. So you can do all the scenes in one location at the same time, right? So I would go on the set and it'd be all about me, you know, my hair, my makeup and my wardrobe and my motivation and my emotions and all that stuff. And then I go to the therapy room and it'd be all about them. And I could just forget about myself, leave myself completely behind. It was such a great sort of balance. I would have done that the rest of my life, but of course soaps died. So That didn't work out quite that way.
We wrote into BH90210 that you did a group therapy session for the cast. And I thought that was so fun because you really were a therapist. So when we filmed that, were you thinking, oh, there's no hope for these people. I can't help them. I'm not that good of a therapist.
The fans, like real, like the diehard fans know that. You're a therapist. Like
you're
they
really
know
a therapist.
That background. But I wonder if other people watching are just like, oh, I wonder why they cast her as the therapist. They probably didn't get it.
Well, it's well,
a lot of people didn't get the show. Which
Abri does say it in the scene. She says, she is a licensed therapist.
Right, true.
And I've had all kinds of things with clients coming in and going, You're the mom on 90210. Oh my God,
really?
I came in.
Yes. And I had a couple. I worked with them for months and months and months. And they finally, I think they were breaking up. So we were ending our work together. And at the very last session, he says, "Don't you recognize her? She's the mom from the," and I'm going, "Oh my God, he was with me all this time and he never said a word about it."
Wait, I would Carol, you're a legend. Like, everyone knows who you are. Like, there's not anyone that sees you that doesn't recognize you. Do you feel the need with all of your patients to say, like, to get it out of the way and say something, or no?
Or is it always
in the back of your head?
No, I leave it to them. At the moment, most of my clients are kind of older than the, you know, body, key demographic. Yeah. But there's no question that I have that it's, you know, if it were a different role, it would be a problem. But because Cindy was everybody's understanding, you know, heartfelt, welcoming everyone, all of that stuff, it really segues mm-hmm. into the
it's third. A natural transition. I think.
I would lose my mind if I uh-huh. came into a session and saw that it was you, and I'd be like, "Oh my God!" And I would fangirl out. And here's the thing, I got a bone to pick with you. Like, you became a therapist, but all those years before that, you never helped us. We had so many issues.
We needed you. We needed you, Carol. Where were you?
I could tell you, every single interview that I did for, you know, TV or radio or newspapers or what, they always asked, "Oh, do the kids come to you for advice?" And I'm going, "Are you kidding?"
No.
No.
Now I wish I had.
Me too. Jeez.
Yeah, right.
Well, you guys, you know, you were in your own. You were trying to figure it out on your own. And I mean, I didn't really have much advice to offer.
We're just on the first season of the show, which is all about the Walsh family and them moving to mm-hmm. Beverly Hills. And it's we've commented that it seems like in every scene, Mama Walsh was like, either cooking something, barbecuing something, or gardening. Those are the three things that you are allowed to do as a character.
Well, at least so far.
Do you remember that we had this whole, there was a whole story about me becoming like a landscape contractor?
Oh, like a Mrs. Miyagi, yes.
We haven't gotten
yes, that. And Jim was reluctant because it was going to cost him more in taxes. And finally, at the end of the episode, he says, "Okay, you can go get a license to be
Isn't that funny, you guys? Yeah.
Oh, he let you. Yeah. Thanks,
but
Dad.
But then the people at Fox apparently said, no, she can't. She's not allowed to real? Make money.
What?
She's not allowed to make money. She has to just stay home and cook the meals.
For the teenagers.
I don't even know why I took credit for this, but I just felt, it's my dad's show, I just felt shame from head to toe. What? That is infuriating. Sorry.
Well, I don't think it was his fault.
No, but still, you know what I mean. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Different time.
But you looked hot in every episode. Like, you were the OG MILF.
You were so, I mean, not that we're saying you were, but you are. You are such a beautiful woman. But that was 30 years ago. And every time I see you on screen, we always comment about it, is how hot Carol Potter is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, truly. So like, oh, my gosh. Like, that storylines they didn't do. Cool. Like, MILF,
oh, you called her an HFD, Jenny. Was that you, right?
Hottie for days.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so flattered. You know, I was never the hottie in my career. You know, I went from sister to mother, like, within a year. Mm-hmm. And the year that I became mom, I had a baby and a 10-year-old. Wow. So there was something I passed a threshold and I never went back. I was mom for the rest of my days.
How old were your kids?
How old? Do you mind us asking how old you were when you started the show?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was 90. I was mm-hmm. 42. So I was younger than you ladies are.
Isn't that
now,
crazy?
Right?
Gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like at our age, like we're still fighting to be like, we're still sex symbols when we do something like, and wow, but you know what? You were the girl next door. You were Marianne from Gilligan's Island. And every boy wanted Marianne at the end of the day, not Ginger. So you won.
Well, that was, yes, everyone did remind everyone of somebody they knew.
Is that right?
The other thing that's funny is, you know, a lot of people recognize me, but they can't always place me. So that they'll happens. Say things like, were you a teacher at my high school?
I get that's that funny. Too. Did we go to school together?
Did we go to school together?
I feel like I know.
I feel like
somewhere.
You did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You were their classmates.
Did you watch this episode, Perfect Mom?
I remember that episode.
That was a big episode.
Well. Yeah. Well, you know, Annie Gillespie and I are still great friends.
You are? That's awesome.
She and I grew up in two towns right next to each other in New Jersey.
Anne Gillespie, who played Kelly Taylor's mom, Jackie Taylor.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire series.
Yeah. And this episode really focuses on Jackie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And her, this is when we're doing the fashion show, right?
Yeah.
The fancy dress. The thing I remember most about this show, Kelly, is how many times.
Wait, hold on. You just called me Kelly, and I just want to point it out. I love it.
And here's the funny part. I ruined at least three takes calling you Jenny.
Really? No.
Yes, I kept saying Jenny. And people would look at me, and I didn't even know what I'd done wrong. And now I call you Kelly. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
You said something in that episode that I really resonated with me as a grown woman now and of teenagers. I see everything so differently as I watch the show now, because when I was in it, I didn't know what was happening and I didn't really understand anything outside my little brain bubble. But now watching it, you said something in the kitchen, I think was to Brenda when she was trying to get you to hang out with Kelly's mom. You were like, I'm sure she's really nice. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm sure she's really nice, but we're just different. I don't really want to be friends with her, basically. We're just different. And Brenda got all upset about that, thinking that you thought you were better than her, but that wasn't the case at all. You just kind of felt like your personalities didn't meet up, maybe.
Well, I suspect that, you know, Cindy probably felt a little intimidated by somebody. I mean, she had been a big, you know, star model and had this, you know, big career, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I spend all my time cooking.
What do you think was the best dish Cindy Walsh made?
Oh, God. Did we ever taste any of the dishes?
I vaguely remember you tasting a lot of the dishes. I have this memory in my mind.
We all remember it.
Of you eating
all
the prop food.
Eat it.
She didn't want to waste it.
I love it.
It's the Scott in me, you know.
Did you ever get like a stomach ache from the spray that they sprayed on it?
Nope.
Nope. Nope.
I mean, I probably couldn't do it now because my little tummy's more sensitive.
She was so tiny and had the best body. And yeah, you would eat all the
always
food,
eating.
And I'd be like, wow, she can eat anything. Look at her go.
I rarely used a spit bucket too. I just would eat it.
Yeah. Wait, there's spit buckets?
Well, you have to eat the same thing over and over again. Yeah, they give you a spit bucket so you don't have to actually eat the whole thing.
Interesting.
As soon as they cut, you're like,
oh.
They do that in commercials especially because otherwise, you'd be eating three or four or five hamburgers.
That would be bad. That would be bad. But I felt like sorry for Cindy in that episode in a different way than I did before. Like, I related to you a lot more as a mom. And I felt sad that you felt like she didn't want you at the fashion show.
I know, that broke my heart.
Yeah, this episode, I literally cried probably three times. And it was so embarrassing because I was sitting there watching it with my kid and my husband. And Fiona was like, why are you crying? I said, I cry when I see me cry on TV. Like when I'm watching myself cry, it makes me cry because I feel all the feelings again. And then I look over and my husband's he's got a tear. Mm. He had a tear too. So,
well, you know, that's that was one of the things that I think made this show so strong and appealing, was that it did have a very strong emotional tug on the audience. I mean, mm-hmm. you were really, we got people rooting for everybody, you know, even the bad people, the bad characters, you know.
Right. And even when the main characters would go through bad things, the audience would kind of ride that wave with them. And
yeah.
It reminded me of us now, Jen, as school moms. Do you remember a conversation we had where I think we were working on Mystery Girls and I was frazzled because I had come from school from drop off. And I have this innate, to this day, feeling of like, I want everyone to like me. I want to fit in. And I still remember the conversation we had because you said I was late. And you said, why are you late? And I said, because I had to say hi to everyone. Because if I don't, they're going to think I'm a bitch. They're not going to like me. Mm-hmm. And you were like, but your priority are the kids. Like, it doesn't matter if they like you. And I was like, how are you at school? And you're like, I go in, my head's down, and I go. And I respected that. I learned so much because I was like, she's right. Like, if you become friends with someone, great. But trying to have mm-hmm. to fit in, it's different now. We're not doing it for us. We're doing it for our kids. We don't have to fit in. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It's not,
I just always take that story
anymore.
And I always mm-hmm. think of you all the time.
I had an incident at Christopher's school. One of the old, you know, Christopher was like age 3 to 8, those first 5 years. Mm-hmm. And there was a girl at his school who, you know, she's probably 9 or 10, you know, so she's quite a bit older than him. And I guess the head of the school was a friend of mine. And she said, you know, some of the girls are, you know, want to ask you about 90210. You know, so I did. I took a little moment with them and I said, you know, I appreciate that you like the show and everything. But, you know, this place is Christopher's place. And I want to respect that this is the place where he shines and it's all about him. And they were so, they totally got it because they're going to the same school, right? They wanted the same thing for themselves. So, mm-hmm. So that was nice.
Oh my gosh, you are Cindy Walsh. You just
you are.
Want to temporarily restore definition in your jawline where it's been lost over time? With Juvederm Volux XC, you can get a non-surgical jawline treatment that adds volume for a smooth contour and to reduce the appearance of jowls in one in-office treatment with little downtime. Juvederm Volux XC Injectable Gel is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin, and their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important, don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. Ooh la la.
Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order. Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more. Hosted by MTV DJs, Downtown Julie Brown, Matt Pinfield, and Lisa Loeb.
Taking place January 31st through February 5th, 2025 on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, which will be completely transformed to take you back in time for a nonstop 90s action. The 90s Cruise will sail from Tampa and head to amazing stops in Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Do you remember your audition story, like your audition for the show?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, I don't remember the first audition so much. This is what I remember. I mean, I'd been out of work for a while. And every time I had an audition and I didn't hear back right away, I would just dissolve into tears because I was convinced I would never work again. But the one I really remember, though, was the one that your dad was at, Tori. Because, you know, you walk into those rooms and there are all these guys sitting there and they're just looking at you. Your father comes right up to me, shakes my hand, and he said, "Hi, I'm Aaron Spelling. Thank you for coming in." I thought, wow, nobody does that. Aww. You know, he never forgot what it was like to be an actor, even though he became a big producer. And that just impressed me so much. And it put me at ease.
Right. He loved actors so much because he came from it. You're right. Oh my gosh. I wonder who was up against you. I wonder who looks back and was like, "No, it could have been me."
I think there was two of us, but.
Do you remember like your first time on the set? Do you remember what it was like to kind of come?
Well, remember I had a different husband.
Yes, that's right. Tell everyone.
Lyman Ward is a wonderful actor. He's about 6'2", I think. He's very, very tall, which I think was one of the problems. We have these short children, these two tall parents.
Nope, can't say that.
And then, you know, I think his quality, he was too sort of urbane and sophisticated. It didn't provide enough contrast, maybe. That's my guess. I mean, I don't know.
So somebody else was cast as Jim Walsh in the beginning, but then they reshot
this,
it.
Guys.
They reshot those scenes for the pilot.
Yeah, well, if you watch the pilot, you'll see that Jim is often standing in a doorway by himself, integrating with the rest of the scene.
He went on to star on something big after that.
Oh, he's a very
at the
successful
time, but
actor.
Something after, I can't remember, but wow.
I can't remember either, but yes, I think you're right.
Well, thank goodness.
But I did read with Jim and the other fellow who was reading for that part that they were going to replace him with. And I was rooting for Jim.
And we heard that you had a little crush on a couple of the actors.
Carol?
Maybe.
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have first crush on Luke. He's hurt.
You had the biggest crush on Luke. I think everybody that came on that set.
He used to joke about it all the time.
He would flirt with you. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how he'd go up and just hold you and like nuzzle you and get right in your face?
Talk dirty to each other.
What would he say? I said it's always something inappropriate. He was whispering into your ear. But what could you remember? Carol Potter just said he talked dirty to me.
He whispered it.
And she's giggling. She's giggling the way you giggle over Jason Priestley now.
Unfortunately, you can't see. I'm sure my cheeks are very hot. I'm sure they're getting pink.
It's so interesting. I didn't remember it till you said it, and then I can have the visual of him like seeing you in the hallway and going up to you and putting his hands on your waist and talking.
Oh yeah.
I'm seeing it right now. Aww.
Oh, she's reliving
it. You have to tell us one thing he said that wasn't too dirty.
Oh, if I can remember anything in particular, except, you know, he had that, Mrs. Walsh. I should have an affair.
Oh, Mrs. Robinson, you know,
gravelly, lovely
Mrs.
gravelly.
Mrs. Walsh have an affair
with Dylan. Oh my God, can you imagine?
We thought that would be fun. Actually, the other one who mentioned it was Grant Shoud from Melrose Place.
Grant Shoud.
And we were sitting on a wall at one point, and he's looking at me. He says, "We should be having the affair, having the, you know, the younger man, older woman affair." But
what is happening? The star of 90210, the star of Melrose Place, they were all hitting on you. Carol Potter, a whole side of you is revealed today.
I
love it so much. Because we've rewatching these episodes, like we couldn't see it when we were in it, but now rewatching it, we were saying the same thing. Like,
She's so beautiful. Yeah, we didn't really take the time to look at you much because we were so worried about what we look like. But now rewatching it, you looked amazing, and your acting was so great. And I feel like I personally just didn't appreciate your amazing contribution to the show at that time.
Well, you know, I have to say that you know, doing that reboot. By the way, you ladies really put together something. I mean, when I first heard about it, I said, oh, a bunch of actors getting together to try to, you know, reboot a show. But once I read that script, and I thought you did an amazing job. I mean, you hit on so many like themes of aging, of celebrity. I mean, sort of deconstructing these, the idea of celebrity, the idea of what's a person really like and what's their real life versus their screen life. I mean, I have to give you props for that because I thought it was really well done. And I have to say that was probably my favorite day of shooting ever in my entire career. You were all so sweet, and it was so nice to hang around together now that you're all adults.
Right? Now that we're
it was
normal.
Very different.
It was so it much was more different. Relaxed, and you knew what you were about, and you weren't all stressed about it. I mean, I can't imagine what it was like to find yourself thrust so in the spotlight the way you were. It must have been incredibly jarring and scary, you know. I just remember the girls were all getting scared. I mean, I remember Shannon coming, oh, some guy came to my house, I have to get, you know, they were all concerned about security, and the guys are just going, oh, girls are throwing themselves at me, what could be bad, you know. But then you get the who's vulnerable in our culture, it's women who are vulnerable, right? And so being thrust out into the open, it struck me that it was much harder for you girls, you women.
We didn't really say
it was harder for the guys, right?
Well, they were just chased more, I think, by the girls. But I think emotionally and mentally, and it was more taxing on maybe the women because there was so much more pressure on us to fulfill people's, everybody's needs, everybody's, you know, what they wanted us to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yeah. That was a lot. And I don't think that the guys really took that on as much as the girls probably did.
No, and I also think, you know, it's for a guy to have girls throwing themselves at him, there's a certain aspect of that that he can enjoy. But for a young woman to have strange men throwing themselves at her feels can feel dangerous. Yeah.
And to have people just look at you a different way, like objectifying you, looking at you and sort of sizing you up or stereotyping you and thinking that's all you are. I mean, I've been in therapy for years, Carol, because of that was a really, it was a lot. And I was not equipped to handle all that went with that sort of fame and stardom.
Very, very few people are equipped to handle something like that at the ages that you kids were dealing with it. You don't mind if I call you kids, do you?
No, keep doing it.
I really like it. Yeah.
Would they confide in you, Carol, during the show? Would they come to your dressing room and ask for advice?
No.
No.
No, they knew more. They probably knew more. I mean,
we thought we knew more.
Smelling, she needs advice from anybody. She goes, dad.
Needed a lot of it.
I thought the funny part too was Tori's brother, Randy, was in the soap that I did.
Mm.
So I've now worked with both of the Spelling children.
There you go.
Well, I'm still amazed that you had Luke Perry whispering naughty bits in your ear.
I can't get beyond it. Like, little, God.
Love talk Mrs. in the Walsh. Ear there.
Yeah. He was.
Did Jason ever flirt with you?
No. I mean, even though it was only pretend,
right.
It still felt a little weird.
I feel like
I never had a scene with Jason until that episode. I don't know whether it's the sixth season or the seventh season where I came back.
How is that possible?
That was the first. I mean,
the two of you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had plenty with Shannon and plenty with Jim. You know, and you and I had a great one, Tori. You came to me for advice or something. You had this, I don't know, you were pouring your heart out to me. Do you remember that scene? I don't even know.
Sorry. I wonder if it was like when my mom cheated on my dad. I don't remember that.
Could have been.
Might have been that episode.
That sounds familiar. Yeah, that could have been it.
That just goes to show they really played on the father-son and then the mother-daughter. Mm-hmm. That was important.
And the father-daughter.
Oh,
interesting. They did plenty of father daughter.
Uh-huh. Like a mama's boy. You theory. The man has a connection to his mother. Why didn't they explore that? That's so bizarre.
Yeah, I think you put the nail on the head, Tori. They didn't want to explore that because it reminded them of when they were teenagers and their mother's in charge of them. And when you live in a patriarchal system, and you're becoming a young man, the last thing you want to have to admit to is the fact that there was this woman who had control over your life.
Do you think
I'm just speculating.
I love this kind of talk. Do you think that a lot of men grow into adulthood and have like, they hold a grudge against women in general because of that very thing?
Bad relationship with their mother? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
Bad or just that?
Well, just that sense of
their
being
mom puts them on a pedestal, kind of. Well, typically.
Well, there's that. I mean, we do have moms who enable predators, right? I mean, do you remember this? Oh God, there was this huge scandal. Yes, one of those Lakewood, California, it's near Lake Havasu, I want to say. And there was this whole thing. The boys were putting notches in their bedpost. And this one young woman actually stood up and said he raped her. And of course, it just got poured on top of her and hit the mother of the boy was just, oh my God, she's a slut and my son's great. And, you know, he had slept with 66 girls. And he's not a slut. She slept with one and she is. I mean, the double standard was so rampant. There are parents, there are mothers who enable their sons.
For sure. I remember having a really like a nice, like strong connection with Jackie, with Anne, who played my mom on the show. And I always loved the days when I'd be working with her, and it just felt, it felt good and felt warm and fuzzy somehow. Yeah. And did you kind of have that same feeling with Brenda or Shannon?
No, I didn't. We weren't warm and fuzzy. I mean, we had some nice scenes together, but I never felt that close to Shannon. I felt really close to James. I mean, because he and I were constantly, you know, I remember when Richard Roundtree came to the set, we both just glommed onto him. It was like, oh, another adult. but
sorry.
Yeah. So, and when Tiffany came, she and I had a blast because she was really, you know, she would just, you know, shoot the back and forth. And so she was a lot
off
of
camera.
Fun. Well, but I mean, we would play even we were working on the scene. I could really play with her. My sense of Shannon was that she was kind of working. She was doing her thing. And I didn't feel like there was a lot of space for me. But, you know, it may have been different when she was working with the rest of you guys. I'm sure it was different with Luke.
That's interesting, though, Jen, you bring that up, because like my mom on the show, Felice Martin, was played by Catherine. And why am I blanking on her last name? Oh, my gosh. But Catherine, who played my mom, Felice Martin, on the show, even though she was kind of harsh on the show, she was so warm off camera.
Right.
I felt the same way that you felt. Like the days that I got to work with her, I felt so much love, and she hugged me, and it was like literally like having an extension, like my a mom on set. So yeah, well, Carol, you're a great actress, because we couldn't tell.
Yeah. I would have never guessed it.
Nope. Would have thought you guys were BFFs.
So, Carol, you were in 147 of the 293 episodes.
Oh, my God.
Do you have a favorite?
Well, 17-year itch. Why not? You know, I got to flirt with somebody else. And
what season was
have
that
a
in?
Dilemma.
Do you know what season that was?
Hmm?
Do you know what season that was in?
That was first season.
First season.
That was the first season.
Oh, that's next week.
Ooh, exciting. Now I'm excited for the next episode.
Tell us, Carol, what to look forward to.
We got to wander around Venice a lot. And
you and your old flame, right?
Me and my
old
flame.
To town.
Who apparently talked so slowly they had to cut like 3 minutes out of it.
Oh, really?
Were you thinking, speed it up there, pal, when you were doing the scene with him?
I just thought he was being romantic.
Oh, no. Who was the actor?
And, you know, that was the week, was it the week before I got married?
In real life.
In real life. I mean, we had this whole thing planned out where I was, you know, first of all, we had this wedding planned for Saturday, and then, they call me. Nobody's given me any information, right? That we've done the pilot. They picked it up. It's starting to shoot in April. Nobody's given me any information. And they say, okay, your first call day is Saturday. I'm going,
what?
What?
Saturday?
Saturday. They said, oh yeah, we're shooting Tuesday through Saturday. I said, what the F? Was nobody going to tell me this? I mean, they literally didn't tell me until I had to, you know, show up for work. I said, you know, I'm getting married on a Saturday in October.
Oh my
god.
Oh,
okay, we'll work it out. We work it out. So we had it set up. We actually flipped two shows so that I would get this one over and then shoot the next show, which I didn't have much to do in.
Mm-hmm. So did
and then we had a pickup day.
Oh, no.
So it shoved the whole shooting schedule over one day. Which meant that I missed my rehearsal dinner.
Oh my God.
Not until, I don't know, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night on Friday night.
This is why the business sucks so hard.
And then the next day, I got married.
I can't believe that.
Wow.
That's so typical.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know people from Broadway who got married in between the matinee and the evening show. They wouldn't, but they never let them out of the show.
Did Cindy Walsh cheat on Jim? Did she have an affair?
I kissed him.
You kissed him.
Or he kissed him.
He kissed you.
That's cheating, Carol Potter. That's cheating.
Technically, you cheated on Jim Walsh.
It's cheating. I was tempted, but I realized in time that I really loved Jim and I didn't want to ruin my life. So I made the right decision.
I feel like that's an episode in every series.
Yeah.
Like the husband or the wife gets that temptation and dips their toe in the.
Well, when you consider how prevalent affairs are in this country.
I thought you were going to say in this industry.
No. Just remember, couples were, it was one of my specialties. And the number of people who have extramarital affairs is mind blowing.
What's the percentage?
I don't, I wouldn't want to guess at a percentage, but it's way above 10.
Yeah, I would imagine above 10.
I'm going to guess typically men over women.
I don't know if it's half, more than half, but it's certainly high up in that first half.
Why do you believe that typically men, I mean, obviously it can happen both ways, but I think typically, and I hate to say it, men cheat more than women in a marriage. Do you find that true, Carol?
I couldn't say for sure, but I know that more women are having affairs these days than
these
would
days?
Have passed. Well, I'm talking about, once women started going to work, they meet people at work. And whereas if you're a housewife, what opportunities do you have, right?
Yeah,
you're home
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah, you're just baking cookies. You don't, just the mailman. Oh, that's why they said, the kid came from the milkman. Now I get it. That was the only other man she met.
That was the only other guy who came to the house.
The milkman.
You ladies watched Mad Men, didn't you? That was my era.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great era.
Wow. We were allowed to start working. We were allowed to be sexy. We were allowed to love. Interesting life.
We can wear whatever we want. I mean, the range of fashion that's available is great. Although I have to say, 50s, the best. Nice waspy waists and full skirts and emphasis of the bosom.
Beautiful.
You cannot beat 50s. Fashion.
Well, no.
Carol Potter, I gave credit to Jenny, but I think it might have been you that started the trend of the mom jean. It could have been you.
No.
Because what do you mean? It's the biggest thing now. Even teens are wearing it.
I didn't ever wear mom jeans.
Your jeans were, yes, you wore jeans and you were a mom, so they were technically mom jeans.
But the style and the cut of the jean that is in now is called mom jean because it's the high-waisted that you wore back then.
Thing?
And you wore so well.
Yes. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Well, whoever had the idea that sitting your waist at the widest part of your hips was flattering to a woman, that person should have their head examined.
Oh, that you mean like low waisted jeans?
I mean the low waist. Oh. You cannot not have muffin tops, right?
Yeah,
I wore the crap out of those in the 90s.
Remember when they got so low that it was like dangerous though?
Yes.
It was like a hip bone showed, and then
I don't
it was
wear
like,
a belt.
Maybe
Did
some
I
pubes
something?
Popping out. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I said pubes and she can't handle it.
Oh, it's
she said pubes. It's, I miss her so much. She's
sorry, Carol. We
it was fun,
digress.
It's fun watching Tori have an hysterical fit.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God, I needed a laugh today too, so thank you.
Oh, we're here for you.
Always.
I'm just to hear with this crazy world we're living in right now. I
mean, yeah, how are you holding up?
I had a bad day, and I'm telling you, the thing that I tried to add a new email address mailbox onto my phone, and it was just like, I was in tears.
Yeah, tech is for the young.
Can't do that
That's
either.
The thing that'll just all come apart so fast.
Tech
so are you
is
on
for
Zoom
young.
Calls with clients all day?
Well,
pretty much.
I've had I do my yoga class twice a week on Zoom, and man, that's been a lifesaver.
Wow.
I have a meditation group. She offers it every single morning. I'm usually there at least four times a week, 3 to 5 times a week, usually about 8:30 in the morning. We all do. She brings us into presence. She reads a little something. We do a chant.
Oh my god.
Do a sit.
Sounds so nice.
The thing that's really sick.
Can we come? Can we?
Sis?
Oh yeah.
We need to have a meditation.
Her name is Heather Ruse, R-U-C-E. And if you Google Heather Ruse, you'll go to her website and you click on the daily meditations. And she does a great job. But it's really, I got all involved in deeper and re-engaged with spirituality this year. And it's been my life. Nice. I also was writing this book.
You wrote a book. I was just going to say, about awesome.
Actually, starting in March, we had heavy duty editing. I mean, a major rewrite, completely restructured from March until I want to say toward the end of the summer. So, I mean, I the fact that there was nothing to do and nowhere to go was really kind of
so
helpful.
You finished the book, and when does it come out?
You finished the book.
What's
it's
it called?
Coming out in February. It's called When Your Child Has a Chronic Medical Illness, A Guide for the Parenting Journey. And you can pre-order it on Amazon.
You hear it's, that, everybody? You can pre-order it.
Carol Potter's and, book. So if you know anybody who's got a kid with a chronic medical illness, it's somewhere between 14 and 35% of kids have some kind of chronic medical illness. Mm-hmm. Some kind of chronic illness. Mm-hmm. So we're getting really, I'm really pleased. We're getting great reviews and great feedback. People are really saying this is going to be helpful to a lot
That's
of people.
So nice to help people on that level.
Really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're excited to read and support you, of course. It's so nice hanging out with you. I got to tell you, what you said is so true. Like, it makes me sad. We had this same conversation with Gabrielle. Like, we're super close with her now. But back then, it kind of didn't always work that way. And it's just, it makes me sad that we missed out on, like, these amazing people for 10 years.
Conversations,
we just didn't know.
Mm-hmm. I know. I feel that way about college.
Do you remember, Carol, all the little love triangles that happened on the set?
The offstage love triangles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you remember any of them?
I would go into the wardrobe department and say, okay, tell me what's going on. I had no idea what was going on.
And they knew everything.
Because I really didn't see you guys. We didn't have scenes together.
Until
remember when they sent me to graduate school in counseling?
Oh, that's right.
What?
But wait, what did you hear the rumors were?
Oh God, I don't even remember. The big thing was the Jenny Shannon, who's gonna wear the red dress? That's the one.
The red dress was not
all of that.
That was you. That was all you.
It wasn't all me.
Wasn't the red dress you and me?
Oh, it was you and me.
Then they had that you show up at the prom in the same dress.
They
and
really
I
pitted. Yeah,
if that was a
wait. That happened first, right?
That happened first. That happened early in the show.
Yeah.
And it was in the first season.
They kind of created that. They pitted Kelly and Brenda against each other and made Kelly steal Brenda's boyfriend. And
all that.
Yes.
I mean, they didn't have a chance in their friendship.
Right.
But they did. Yeah. They seemed to overcome it, Kelly and Brenda, and remain friends for the whole show, as far as I remember. Is that
right?
Do you
think they're still friends?
I do.
Well, did she come on, when they, not the reboot, but the one before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on it for a couple episodes and I persuaded her to come on it.
She was not on it for a couple of episodes. I feel like you were on it for like 20 episodes.
It was like three episodes.
You were on for like 22 episodes.
We have this argument all the time.
Can someone fact
Are you guys talking about the 90210 with like the
all the youngsters, yeah.
Book on IMDb. Yeah.
All the youngsters, that show.
The one on.
I feel like WB I was only there for three episodes, whatever. But Shannon did come in for an episode, and then you came in, Missy, for an episode, maybe 22. I don't know.
I was on two episodes. I think Shannon was on maybe two episodes, and you were on like 20 or 22 episodes.
That's not true.
I always
you
thought
were basically the spinoff. If it was all about you,
if Walt had come in and joined the, you were like the guidance counselor, right?
Yeah.
I thought it would be fun if Cindy came in to be under you as a new guidance counselor, having gotten her, you know, counseling degree and everything.
That would be good.
I thought that would be an interesting sort of flip.
Well, when Jen and I produce 90210, the musical, we'll make that happen.
It's coming out soon.
Well, before you go, Carol, we are going to have to wrap soon, unfortunately. But well, before you go, we have to we play a fun little game on here, and it's kiss, marry, kick to the curb.
Oh, God.
We don't use kill because kill's just so aggressive.
It's too harsh, yeah.
It's too aggressive. So you can pick any of the boys from the cast.
What, kiss?
We know this one now.
Yeah, jeez. I feel like this is a no-brainer.
Who would you marry, and who would you kick to the curb?
Kick to the curb.
Wait, of the like main guys. Character.
Yeah. Character or actor? Or does it matter?
I don't think it matters.
She made me play character. No, you made me. Would you make me play real?
We did characters.
Okay.
No, I don't remember. I'm lying.
I think just go with your gut.
Fine.
Gosh.
What about Jim? Should we include him in the list of men?
No, all the boys. Men in the show. Just boys. Jim's the obvious.
Oh, just the boys.
Soulmate.
So we've got Brian, Luke, Jason,
Ian, and Jason, yeah.
So those four. So, and yeah, which one do I ignore? Is the last.
Yeah, you're going to ignore one already.
We had to do it, don't worry.
Okay.
And then three get to play.
No one's mad.
I'm sorry, I'm so slow. Kiss, marry, and get rid of. Uh-huh. And which used to be, I believe, a word starting with F was the kiss. Yeah, well, that definitely be Luke.
No hesitation there.
Marry Brian. Yeah, I'd marry Brian. Aww. And then I have to ignore Jason. He played my son. It's just too creepy.
Yeah, it gets weird.
Perfect.
Kick him to the curb.
Good job, Carol.
But they were all hunks.
We're so happy you came and hung out with us, Carol.
Thank you for inviting me.
Come back and play with us.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Tori and I sometimes get in arguments. We're going to need you, our therapist.
Mediate those,
be our standby. Yep.
I love that you guys wrote it in the script that you had decided to start seeing me.
Well, you're the best therapist in town. Why wouldn't we?
That's right. That's right.
And everybody go pick up her book or pre-order Carol's book and support her. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Thank you all for having me.
You soon.
Yeah.
And you'll have to tell us off the show what Luke whispered in your ear because we know you remember. We know.
Yeah. I'll tell you that off the show.
Okay, fine. Let's start a group chat.
Bye, Carol.
Bye, Carol.
Big hugs to you.
Thank you so much. Lots of love. Mwah. I'm so glad our relationships got to the place where we could really enjoy each other.
Me too. Us too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was so fun, you guys. I feel like I just had a therapy session, kind of.
My heart's so full right now.
She's so, like, easy to talk to and just, like, chill.
I mean that. Like, we missed 10 years with a great woman and we didn't even know. Like, I don't want to ever do that again. Like, we judge people because of their age. Like, oh, she wasn't in our teen group. So, like,
yeah, but in our defense, so much. As a teen, you're just not wired that way. You can't see outside yourself. And that's not a negative thing, or we're talking badly about teen girls.
Right.
Their brains aren't developed in a way that they can appreciate the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Well, you know who else is in this episode is Linda Thompson. She plays Kelly's mom's best friend. It's the girl that's laying out at the pool with her.
Right.
So she was married to Bruce Jenner. They had Brandon and Brody Jenner. And then she married David Foster. So she
Whoa, wait. She was married to Bruce Jenner.
Yes.
Yes.
Formally Bruce Jenner.
Yeah. Well, okay. Mm-hmm. This is really
confusing.
Brody
Jenner, who was on The Hills, and Step Brothers, the Kardashians. Like,
those are her
kids. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't she date Elvis at one point? Because I remember something about when we were filming the show and that we were filming that scene when Brenda and Kelly walk up to them at the pool. I remember the crew kind of being like, that girl's dated Elvis. And that was like, oh my God, she dated Elvis. To me, that was so exciting.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That hands down trumps the Kardashians. Sorry. I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah. Dating Elvis is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
I know. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we need to talk about the fashion from this episode, because I know we touched on mom jeans a little bit. And then Carol brought up like the 50s and stuff like that. But there was some fashion from this episode.
Yes, fashion show.
Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more. Hosted by MTV DJs, Downtown Julie Brown, Matt Pinfield, and Lisa Loeb.
Taking place January 31st through February 5th, 2025 on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, which will be completely transformed to take you back in time for a nonstop 90s action. The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to amazing stops in Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
All right, let's talk about fashion. It was the fashion show episode, so there was a lot of like fancy, fancy fashion going on.
Right.
On the catwalk. Well,
sophisticated.
You had the bikini.
That was a bikini before my boob drop.
Oh. And Kelly didn't get to walk because her mom ruined everything.
I know, poor Kelly was all dressed up and nowhere to go.
You're still wearing the dress at the end of the night.
She doesn't want to take it off. Too much trauma. No.
I thought that Carol looked so good in that red dress. Mm-hmm. It just fit her like perfection. Love.
Yeah, such a beautiful woman.
Beautiful neckline on that dress with all the beading and details. What did you guys see the speaking of mom jeans, the jeans that Brenda was wearing in the kitchen and then at school, and then
the little butchies hanging out.
The cut there was right below the cheeks. On the back of her jeans, it was like ripped on purpose.
I feel like Shannon always wore her own jeans.
Oh, really?
I think so. Yeah. Like that was her jam.
Those jeans were
Shannon has great taste. She has great style. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I feel like she wore a lot of her own stuff and definitely her own jeans.
How do we feel as moms having your daughter walk out of the house in those jeans?
I would be like, no, go put on some pants that actually cover your ass, please.
She would say that.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes I feel awkward when I come over and I'm like, ooh, Lola, you look hot. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, it's like, but it's hard. Like, if it's not your own.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, they're my friends' kids, but I'm like, they look great. But yeah, when it's your own, I'm like, no.
Yeah, I always thought Stella, I was going to be like, this really fun mom, but now I'm like, I think I'm going to be super strict.
No, Stella is 12 and I tell her all the time, like, you can't wear that. And she, but her thing is, cause now there's like TikTok and everything. So she's like, here's girls my age. They're all wearing it. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, what do you say to that?
I know what you would say. You'd say they're not wearing it. But for me, I'm like, oh, I wasn't able to express myself growing up like a lot. Like it was very like, my mom had great style, but she bought my clothes and not till I was older was I able to kind of say, this is what I want to wear. So I feel like I give a lot of free range to my kids. They want to color their hair. They want to dress a certain way. I do it. So it's hard for me to say no, but I'm old fashioned inside. So I'm like, it doesn't feel right. You're too young. It's hard. I find myself sounding like a mom. I was like, you have your whole life to grow up and be an adult, like be a kid now. I'm like,
enjoy it.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we are slowly becoming our parents, I think.
I know. Oh, man.
But I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
She chugs her wine.
Well, did anybody have a favorite line in this episode?
I did. And I was actually one from Cindy Walsh. She said, it's the law of nature. No girl can ever appreciate their own mother. That really resonated with me. And I was just like, gosh, it's like, I remember growing up in high school, I think we were all embarrassed of our moms. At least I was. And especially me, because like my mom spoke Spanish all the time. And like we grew up in this white neighborhood and all I wanted to do was just fit in. And I felt like I just didn't fit in. And it just really resonated with me. And I'm just like, man, like I'm not ready for these teenage battles that I'm going to have with my daughter one day. Like I don't want them.
Do you remember your friends coming over and always getting along with your mom?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. All my friends thought my mom was the coolest. And I was like, how? And she is. And now I look back and I love my mom so much. And that's, you get it after you go to college and like grow up. But when you're a teenager, they're the most embarrassing thing on the planet to you.
Yeah. And now when teens come to my house, like my kids' friends, there's so many emotions going on in my head when they're like, okay, I got to be cool. I got to act like the kids want me to act, but then I got to say something that guy might like. And then if I start relating to the child, God forbid we actually like relate and have a conversation, then my kid is like in the corner cringing probably saying, let's go hang out. It's so hard to be a mom. Oh my God.
But once again, you will always have a leg up because you will always be Kelly Taylor.
Yeah, but those kids don't know that.
You've been through a lot. You were holed up in a warehouse for 10 years, as you put it. So here's one perk. Like the other kids will always be like, wow, cool mom, Kelly Taylor.
Both of you, actually. Truly.
Yeah.
That's crazy. How about you? Any favorite lines?
Yeah. The only one I can think of right now is when Jackie is all coked out and she says, I can't be everything to everybody. And then Kelly says, when you're drinking, mom, you're nothing to nobody.
Oh, powerful.
Really good. I'm going to tear up right now. It's so, I felt all the feelings that Kelly was feeling and being in her position. And And then I also felt the other side, the Jackie's part. Her life is falling apart, and she doesn't have anybody but Kelly. And you know, she needs help to kind of get her life back on track. And I just felt for both of them so much more than I realized I would.
This was like your episode. Iconic. Your room was iconic always.
We didn't see my room in this episode.
Not in this episode. We saw the mom's room and that weird keyboard and TV next to her nightstand.
That was like a 90s? Security.
Like, is that like, it felt like more 80s though, right? The house?
That house, you know what? You can still drive by that house. It's long on Longridge Avenue in Studio
Longridge?
City.
Longridge? In Studio City?
Yes.
It's like my neighborhood.
Yes, if you drive up and look to on your right, you can see the exterior of that house. And we shot the exterior of that house as Kelly's exterior. And I think we shot some of the interiors that like Jackie's room was in that house. But that house was like seriously 80s with the glass block and the round walls. Yeah.
It's still very cool.
It was cool. They were Jackie and Kelly were like artsy, I guess.
Very
modern ladies.
Very less than zero.
Yeah, her room did have like a control panel next to the bed. like she was driving a spaceship. Sides. Yeah. I like it though.
Like, who's gonna type on the keyboard on the wall?
So good.
But that was a real house. That was a real situation in somebody's house.
Oh my gosh. So that again was another person's house that you guys would just come and rent out for the day and then you'd do your scenes and you'd leave. Mm-hmm. It's so fascinating to me.
Yeah. People do that all the time. They rent out their houses to film productions.
They film my studio all the time, but I think it's like I never knew like I guess people do live there. I just thought it was like an empty house.
You get paid a lot of money to do it. So there's a huge incentive. But the downside is they trash your house, basically mess up your walls and your, you know, they go through your drawers. Well, at least I did.
Are you serious? No, you didn't.
No. But you know, whenever you're shooting in someone's house, you're like, you have to pretend like the kitchen is your kitchen. You got to look around. You got to see what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I definitely do in the kitchen. Always look in the pantry. Always the fridge. Yeah.
Not like in their underwear drawer or anything.
No, that's like creepy. I was going to talk to you after the show about that if that's true.
No.
Oh, my God.
So, Carol's favorite episode is next week, right?
Yes.
That's the show.
17-year itch.
That's everybody's homework.
Can't wait.
Let's watch it. And we'll talk more about Carol Potter's steamy performance.
Yeah. I love that the one that was her favorite was almost
her temptation moment. Yeah. I know. Oh.
She's a saucy. Like you can tell, like Carol's got it going on.
I want to go out for drinks with her minx. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Well, that's it, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, happy new year.
Yeah, keep up the great work. This is first week of January down. Let's keep going.
We got this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, love you guys.
Love you.
Love you too. Watch episode 8.
Mwah. Bye.
Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on The 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interaction, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, and more.
The 90s Cruise will sail from Tampa and head to Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico on Royal Caribbean Serenade of the Seas, January 31st through February 5th, 2025.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.